the eventual our season finale of this season.
Okay, before we get even more off the rails, do we want to get this rolling?
Yes.
Yeah,
I thought we were. I thought we were. We are here to talk about Final Fantasy VII today on the Layman's Guide to the Multiverse.
That's the name of the show, if you didn't know.
Where we dive between the panels.
We also break through the fourth wall.
Whoa, this one and the same.
Yeah.
Was there ever an actual comic for Final Fantasy VII?
I know
there's hentai.
Okay, go on. Expand on that.
No, I won't expand on that, or this will not be a children's rated podcast.
So you've seen Cloud's Buster Sword, you're saying?
Oh my.
Uh-huh.
I'll show you where he puts that materia, if you know what I mean.
Where Barrett puts his arm gun.
Okay. All right. What does he do with the stump when he's done with the gun? These are stories that need to be told, I think.
Yeah, I have questions.
I'll let you and Google handle that.
Thank you. To answer your immediate question, Paolo, it looks like no, there is not an official Final Fantasy VII comic.
They didn't even release a manga like in Japan, because I know they've done like the occasional like manga releases for like video games.
That is a good question. Especially,
do we consider mangas comics? I mean, I do.
Yeah, sure.
Not American comics, but I consider them comics.
I mean, doesn't manga translate to comic?
I actually
don't know. I'm literally just asking.
Where's Matt? Matt would tell us.
Wow. Yeah. How's the detective doing, Paolo? Any word?
The detective. Yeah, totally. Doing a great job.
This sounds very good.
I absolutely paid him this month instead of taking a trip to the Bahamas.
Okay, good. I'm glad things are moving along. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to hearing from him soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally. I'll make sure I get an update as soon as I can on that.
Okay. That's great. Fantastic. Yeah. My heart goes out to Matt and his family currently. So I'm glad you're putting as much effort as possible into finding him.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Maximum effort. It sounds like you're breaking the limit of your banking.
Listen, we break the fourth wall and the limit. The limit does not exist.
Yeah, you're going to omni-slash, metaphorically, this detective into finding Matt. Yeah, which is very good.
Listen, there are a lot of questions around where Matt has disappeared off to. Kind of like the questions about how much has changed from the original Final Fantasy VII to the new Final Fantasy VII that we're getting.
Hey, that's a good segue.
That's pretty good.
Literally, I can't tell. At time of recording, the trailer for Final Fantasy VII Remake has come out, hours ago?
The second, by the way, let's be clear, the part two, which is their titling Rebirth, not Remake.
Did I say Rebirth?
You said Remake.
Don't yell at me.
But it is a remake, but it's called Rebirth.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Square loves its really weird naming conventions.
I agree.
Like Final Fantasy X-2 and Final Fantasy X-3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And all the Kingdom Hearts is.
Don't even get me started.
No, yeah, don't get me started on that. Just the fucking cowards need to give me a goddamn Xenogears remake. Call it whatever weird fucking thing you want to call it. Just give it to me.
They're calling it Kingdom Hearts 4, Paolo.
I'd still play it. I don't care.
If it's Xenogears, I'll play it. It could be called Kingdom Hearts 4. Xenogears, Kingdom Hearts 4, part of the Deus Ex Machina. Whatever. Please. I don't know.
You could call it Papa Shango's Cream Pie Surprise, and I'm playing it. I don't care.
I've read that one. That's a very good book.
But for those of you who haven't... All right. So before we begin, spoiler alert for a game that came out 35 years ago. How many years did Final Fantasy VII come out now, guys?
43.
Who knows? I think it was the first game ever made. So like at this point, like 1,000?
As an awakening for like people who were starting to play video games, Final Fantasy VII absolutely was like that first introduction to like Japanese RPGs. That just kind of blew people away. Like, I'm pretty sure if this episode is more about the original Final Fantasy VII than the new Final Fantasy VII, that was the first game with the graphical power to basically like tell you, like when you watch the commercial for that game, which like Sony fucking released actual like television commercials for that game.
I'm getting chills with you saying that because I'm thinking about just like how just graphically that game blew my mind as a kid. And just the aesthetic, just Square in like the mid to late 90s, just in general, their entire vibe is just like, it's so good. It's so good.
Yeah, that was probably the golden age of Square Soft, Square Enix, whatever. Like at the time they were called Square Soft. So like they just threw shit against the wall and it stuck. So like Urguys, I don't know if you guys ever played Urguys or even remember Urguys.
Mm-hmm. It's been a bit, but I played it. Yeah,
you see, you're talking about the fighting game, right?
Yes. There was also Final Fantasy Tactics. To this day, like one of my favorite fucking games of all time.
That opening.
Final Fantasy VII, Xenogears, which just like it's an unfinished game, but that game was just like so different in the way it played and the story that it told and the topics that it touched on, and honestly. Honest to God, like the topics that Final Fantasy VII touched on as well, like going back and looking at it from an adult perspective.
Oh yeah.
Like, how did we play this game?
As a kid, I didn't pick up on us being eco-terrorists.
Yeah.
Like going back, yo, you are the bad guys at the beginning of this of the game to the big government system.
Yeah. You're not the bad guys. You're just fighting against a corrupt system.
There it is.
That is true. Yeah. That is true. Which is kind of very much relates to what we need to do now, but you know, not to make it too political here, but if you haven't watched the trailer or played the first
off,
part of the remake, go and do it. That.
If you haven't played the original and you have the time, go play the original.
Go do that. It is available at multiple places, at least to my understanding. You could pick up your iPhone and play Final Fantasy VII.
That is true. Yeah, it's available for everything. It's like Skyrim or Doom.
There's available on Steam for PC. If you have a Steam Deck, just play it on there. It's a beautiful game to play on the Steam Deck, honestly. And the fact that it makes it portable, like, come on. Like, that right there. Like, you're sitting on the subway just playing fucking Final Fantasy VII? Come on.
Do it.
Just do it.
Do it. But to go back to what we were originally going to talk about with, like, obviously spoiler warnings for the original game and some spoiler warnings for the remake.
Yes.
The remake changed some serious beats to the story.
It diverged. It was, at least for me, a very nice surprise. Because I the last thing I wanted was just the same game that just looks prettier. So I played seven.
I mean, agreed. I wouldn't have been mad at it. You know, because like I love that game and I love the aesthetic and like I love a lot about the original. So would I have been like upset if it was just a straight up like 1-to-1 remake? Like, no.
No, I would have just as much enjoyed it. I would have played it just as much as I did what they gave us.
But I agree with Mike that I'm glad we didn't get just a straight up remake.
Yeah.
By the way, for reference, Final Fantasy VII was released on January 31st, 1997. So if we're dating ourselves right now, we are absolutely dating ourselves in this episode. How old were you guys when the original game came out? Do you remember?
So the original came out
I forget.
In America in 98. So that would make me
98.
10?
You were 10?
In 98?
Did you play it when it came out in 98?
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't play it right away. I didn't have a PlayStation. The first Final Fantasy that I played, I think, was Final Fantasy VIII.
Actually, I might be lying to you. Hold on.
Really?
No. So I played it out on release. I just don't think I played it like... I might have played it in early 98, because if the game was released in... Okay, so yeah, So in Japan, it was released January 31st, 1997. North America, it was released in September.
Right, so it was the same year. So yeah, you probably played it towards the end of that.
Correct.
I was, if I do my math correctly, 93. I was 15 when that game came out. Yeah, that sounds about right. 14, 15 when that game came out. So if I'm at that point, we have already had like multiple Final Fantasy games by that point, which I unfortunately had not played because the games that I always played on my Super Nintendo were like Donkey Kong Country.
Hell yeah.
Super Mario, obviously. Like all of those, like the regular games, like I had not been exposed to RPGs at that point in time. Like I hadn't played RPGs.
Wait, so you hadn't played Super Mario RPG?
No, I hadn't played Super Mario RPG.
Was my favorite. I love it.
I still have not played it.
I don't know if it'll hold up now, because I really truly cannot judge that game without like rose colored glasses. I truly can't.
Not to like hard left in a completely different territory here. The idea of a turn-based RPG made by Squaresoft in 96 and it being a Super Mario game is a weird flavor. Holy shit, does it work? And it's got one of the coolest, at least in my opinion, like turn-based systems.
I've heard because
it was being interactive and everything.
Yeah.
So you know, in like Final Fantasy VIII, when you go to attack with characters like Squall and Cypher, like if you hit the button at the right time, right as you hit, you would do like a critical hit. Just about every character in Super Mario RPG has that mechanic.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very interactive. Like you feel like you're actively participating in the fight rather than just pressing like A a couple times.
I'm
trying.
So point like, I was gonna make. Sorry to cut you off.
No, go, please.
I played it, you know, within the last 5 to 10 years. It still holds up.
Okay. Super Mario RPG.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you play it so that I can know where I can go find that, and the audience who's listening and wants to play it can go.
I 100% played it legally on the Super Nintendo that I 100% legally
own. Absolutely, totally agree on that. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
Definitely would not pirate an old game like that.
I played it on an emulator. An emulator. I bought it from emulator.
Absolutely. Well, all right. Regardless. So, yeah, that's something that as I think back, granted, maybe I played another RPG, but nothing that was as memorable. But
you didn't play any of the Final Fantasies before that?
No.
Fantasy was even in a weird spot in America.
I didn't even play Chrono Trigger.
Right, it was.
Chrono Trigger was another one of those games that people were like, you need to play Chrono Trigger.
It's very good.
I didn't play Chrono Trigger until after I played Final Fantasy VII.
Okay. I'm in the same boat as well.
Yeah, same. I didn't actually own a Super Nintendo when I was a kid.
So Final Fantasy VII, like I said, like I remember watching, like the thing that caught my attention were the trailers.
Yeah.
Cause like I was like, yo, this is
the commercials.
So cool. Look at the commercials. Mm. Yeah, the commercials. I'm sorry, there were no trailers back then. We didn't watch trailers on YouTube. You were watching TV, and all of a sudden, like this story comes out. I'm just like, what is this? What? This is so cool.
Yep.
Like, this looks so cool. And like I bought a PlayStation, and like I bought the game, and I was hooked within minutes. I would have to spend time between at home or going to my aunt's house and like spending the day there because that she used to babysit like me and my sister. So I would just take my PlayStation with me to play. Like the idea of playing this, like to stopping to play this, like I just didn't. I stopped doing homework to play Final Fantasy VII because at that point in time I was old enough that like my parents didn't need to watch me do homework. So I'd be like, I guess I'm just gonna play this. Did I put 99 hours into this game? Absolutely. Get to level 99? Absolutely. If there had been trophies, would I have platinumed this game?
Absolutely. Hell yeah,
I did. Woo. Like this game was just like, and I to this day remember, it's the first video game that I played that I cried playing this video game.
It's a good one.
I felt an emotional response to a video game that like I did. It was the game that woke me up to the idea of art. In a video game, that a video game can be a work of art.
Of course.
So, like, when I tell you, like, when they announced that we're doing the rebirth, like, I had tears in my eyes watching the trailer of, like, this game, just, like, the re-release in the beautiful graphics of our current age.
Oh, dude. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
my God. I remember, God. I mean, the three of us were all in college when the tech demo came out.
Yes. Oh, right.
Yes, we were.
Which that was like, I was freaking the fuck out. I was like, this is what the PlayStation 3 can do. And then like we never got anything that was anything close to that, because that was just kind of pushing the hardware's limits, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
So years later, getting that Final Fantasy remake trailer, I was in the same boat as you. I was screaming and, you know, yelling at my TV, just trying not to bawl my eyes out. Like I was 12 when we just ran out of ice cream. Like,
I still feel that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I like watching the trailer for the new one. I'm just like, okay. Let me go into this open world, because like, so for those of you who have not played the first game, so the first game takes place essentially the beginning part of the initial game. Everything takes place in like a sealed city. Everything takes place in a city that, like, even though it's like an ugly, ugly city, like it's still gorgeous now to look back at. Like, even,
oh, the aesthetic is so cool.
It's such what is the aesthetic that they were going for? Like, what would you what would you call that now? Like,
so
almost steampunkish, almost.
Yeah, kind of, but it's not. It's
like trash steampunk.
So diesel punk is what they call it now.
Yes,
diesel that makes punk. Sense.
Which I'm like, yeah, I guess that makes sense. I was just reading that they were calling it like a post-industrial sci-fi.
Also, okay. could work. I went deep into that game, man. Like, it was one of the few games that I literally went into the systems to try to figure out, like, what is the best way to, like, break my characters and make them as powerful as possible.
Yep, yep. Ruby weapon. That's hard. Emerald weapon? Very hard.
Yeah, emerald and ruby weapon were like the idea of optional bosses. Like, I at that point had not known about this. Like, I can go fight them if I want to, but I have to be super strong to fight them. Holy shit, this is incredible.
Yeah. I mean, I was used to that because of Mario RPG. There's a little boss named Culex.
Hey.
If anyone's aware. Oh, Culex. It's good.
It's very good. It's just
cool. I need to go back. I need to go back and play that.
For a Mario game, what's crazy is, so what Mike's talking about is there's a boss that's created for that game, but he's done in the style of Final Fantasy five
or four.
Yeah, I forget which.
Yeah, one of them.
But he's just like a what if bad guy that, like, you know, they grabbed like a this boss was on the cutting room floor of that game. We're like, well, we'll just put it in this one. Who cares? So like the graphical style is completely different.
Yep.
Which they, I think in the Japanese translation, the world or the pocket dimension that he lives in is only 2D.
The battle music is different. Every other boss fight sounds different than Culex.
Yeah. It's also supposed to be a rearrangement of, I think, the Final Fantasy 4 or 5 boss music.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's right.
Oh, that's the other thing to talk. The other thing we need to talk about.
The music of Final Fantasy 7?
The music of Final Fantasy 7.
Oh, good.
Oh my God! To this day,
the composer went out of his way to just push the PlayStation's audio card to its limits.
Was that Nobuo Uematsu? He did that? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I believe it was. Yeah, and that was when he was in his like prime. Like that soundtrack holds up still to this day. Like, the battle music always gets you like hyped. The boss music is incredible. Like, he gave you special like boss fights, best boss fight music for like certain bosses as well. Genova's theme was always just like, you knew like that this
fucking
was
banger and you knew some shit was going down. I mean, and he really, like, it's one of those things too, like, I really love this game's aesthetic, and the music on the PlayStation 1 really leans into the aesthetic.
Yeah.
Where, like, something like you were saying, Genova's theme or the theme that they use for the reactors really has this, like,
doo, 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 doo.
Really has this, like,
like, you just remember it, you just know it.
Yeah,
you know,
but it really has this, like, clangy, almost industrial feel where, like, even in, like, the remake and stuff, when they start throwing these songs out there, I'm like, it's cool to hear them rearranged, but, like, keep it industrial. You know what I mean? Like, they kind of redid a lot of these things with, like, in an orchestral style.
Right.
See, I for one was never bothered by the redubs
No, I'm not bothered by it. I'm just, the little kid in me goes, but I like the weird industrial stuff.
I get it.
Also a fan of bands like fucking Sleep Token and Nine Inch Nails and the weird other industrial bands. So like,
I just remember.
Shout out to Mick Gordon and the Doom soundtracks.
Hey, so good.
One of the greatest things that came out of this was, I don't know if you guys remember, there used to be a website where people would release remixes.
You're talking about Overclock Remix?
Thank you, Overclock
Remix. That's still around.
I could not. Is it still around?
Yeah, I think
the OC Remix still exists.
Yeah.
OC Remix. Shout out to OCRemix.org.
I think some people on them just went on to like have like professional careers in the video game industry. Like I know a while ago, like Street Fighter 2 like had a turbo, like whatever, like an official re-release. And they hired artists, OC Remix artists, essentially remix the entire original soundtrack.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Or they grab stuff people already did and were like, hey, can we give you money?
Yeah, and it's like, that's fantastic. I love it. Yeah.
No, and I remember I was just going onto that site looking for new
Final Fantasy VII remixes.
Final Fantasy VII remixes. My God, some of those incredible.
Same.
Except I was also looking for like Super Mario RPG remixes and Chrono Trigger remixes. See, I was deep in.
And for me, well, no, I mean, of course, like once the drug starts, like that was I'm telling you, like honest to God, if I had to say what is one of the most influential games for me, like one of the most influential things in general that like kind of woke me up to this idea of weird. Like stuff like that opened my love for RPGs, opened my love for D&D, opened my love for like fantasy in general, magic, comic books, like manga, Japanese anime, all of that. I think it probably stems to Final Fantasy VII.
Paolo's a big fan of all things Japan and anime.
Yes, I will not deny that. If Matt were still here and you know the detective found him, he would probably call me a weeb right now. Yeah, but he's not here, unfortunately, and the detective is still out there looking for him, you know.
Oh, please.
Yeah.
Thoughts and prayers. He's in peace.
He's in peace.
But like Final Fantasy VII woke me up to all of that.
Oh man, it's a real Evanescence over here. It woke you up inside?
It did. It saved him. I will not deny that huge spoiler warning right now for anyone who has not played Final Fantasy VII.
The original, yes.
The original, mind you. If you have not played it, okay, there is a major death in the game. And it's something that killed me because that's the other thing. Like I got super attached to the characters.
Yeah.
Like the characters were so full of life, so full of personality. Even the character that I disliked the most, like Barrett. I didn't like Barrett.
How do you not like Barrett?
I don't know. Like something about just the personality that he gave off of at the time, which unfortunately, like now that I think back, it was because maybe I was a little bit like Barrett is the reason that I didn't like him.
Okay. Fair.
I'm loud. Like I have a very loud personality. Like if you know me in person, like when I'm around people that I am comfortable with, I tend to be loud. I tend to be a little obnoxious, you know.
This checks out. I think rambunctious is the word.
That's a good word. Yeah, that's a good word for it.
Thank you. I think it's good.
But like Barrett was very rambunctious in the game.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And like I for some reason it irked me a little bit at first. But like now that I play it as I'm older, I still hate Barrett, but like I hate him now for like just the fact that like I have better characters that I can pick for him.
Like Sid and
Tifa and I never picked Cait Sith. I hated him in my party.
Really? Cait Sith, Cait Sith was the character that was the least developed, at least even in the original game, like not even like story-wise, just mechanically, because everyone has like these cool limit breaks, like these ultimate abilities they can use. And they get like they upgrade over time. You get new ones. In Cait Sith, you only ever get the one, and he's never get any better.
I was gonna say the homeboy just rolls the dice and
yeah,
get what you get.
That's kind of boring. I wasn't Cait Sith either.
I do really dig, and it's not something I caught when I was a kid. I was a little confused when I was younger. But on subsequent playthroughs, the fact that they allude to Cait Sith being one of the Turks.
Did they allude to it in the first game?
I have to go back and replay it. It's been
a bit. I think they didn't allude to it. They stated it explicitly. Like when they were trying to get the, what's it called? Some of the
Keystone?
The keystone, yeah, essentially in the pyramid that would kind of crush everyone.
The black materia.
Yeah, the black materia. That's what it was.
Yeah, the black materia.
At that point, they had known. He's like, yeah, I work for Shinra. I'm still there, but I just control this thing remotely.
And not to mention, like, now that I think about it, like, I'm pretty sure our hatred of major corporations kind of started with Final Fantasy VII.
I mean, I don't know if I exactly picked up on it, but yeah, that's this big story is that, like, Shinra is killing the planet.
Which all major corporations are basically doing.
Yeah. Global warming's not a thing.
Exactly. This game is a cautionary tale about global warming. And when did it come out? You said 97 in Japan?
Yeah. 97 in Japan.
It's still something we're worried about? Yeah. Okay.
We're talking about corporate greed, global warming, and aliens.
Yeah. And 2 out of 3 ain't bad as far as the predicting things, you know?
Where's the lie, though?
No, but like going back and just that, this game, just the aesthetics of it, the gameplay, like, I'm sorry, the materia system. I have yet to play a Final Fantasy game that has been able to replicate how in depth that materia system was, for me at least.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys agree or not, because like I also have fallen out of favor with a lot of the Final Fantasy games. Like, I did not enjoy 15. I didn't enjoy like the online Final Fantasy is it 14 or 16?
Oh, 11 14. And 14 are the online ones.
Yeah, 11 and 14. I didn't play 11 and I don't like 14. I tried to play and could not get into it.
I feel like the worst part of 15 is playing 15.
I played it after the fact. Well, I played it when it first came out, when it was very rough.
I did as well.
And then I played it after the fact, where they added a bunch of quality of life fixes. And I really do enjoy that game, because I love the characters.
I've heard that the characters can be a lot of fun, but like,
so good.
I think that's the key to Final Fantasy 15, at least. You have to enjoy the characters. If you don't like the characters, you're not going to enjoy that game.
Oh, yeah. No, that game is just a bunch of bros going on a road trip.
Yeah,
it's Hot Boy Summer.
Yeah, it's Hot Boy Summer, and pretty much every other night is Kiss Your Homies night. So,
yeah, you got it. You got to kiss your homies good night.
You do,
or else how is your boy going to come up with a new recipe?
to steal a line from from Lou Wilson, he's got to get slammed down big style.
Big style. I thought that was an Allie Beardsley.
No, Lou's been saying it in this season of Dimension 20. Not to like. Kind of veer off course.
Gotcha. Okay. No, but I think that is an Allie Beardsley.
That is an Allie Beardsley thing. Yeah. It's kind of become a Dimension 20 thing more than anything else.
It's so good.
Yeah. not to curtail the, but like, again, another thing that I like probably would not like now if I hadn't played Final Fantasy VII and just kept playing the video games that I was playing.
It's one of those things too. I think I feel like one of the reasons I'm not huge on like fantasy settings. Or I should say, like, your straight up, like, regular run of the mill standard fantasy setting. Because mm-hmm. My first real introduction with me playing it, because, like, I used to watch my dad play, like, old D&D RPGs, like, what is it? Purple Sun?
Oh, Purple Sun, goodness.
Whoa, wow. Yeah, that's old.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah.
What's the like, post apocalyptic setting? Fallout?
Oh, you mean Dark Sun?
Dark Sun, thank you.
There it is, Dark Sun.
Okay. They made a Dark Sun game?
Yeah. It's like 92, 93.
Goodness. Stop.
Yeah, I know that. That probably aged like fine milk.
Yeah. And I think it runs off of like first or second edition. It's rough.
Let's go.
Yeah, I think the game you're referring to was in 1993. It was called Dark Sun Shattered Lands.
Yep, that's what I'm talking about. And it's got the like the 8 or 16-bit. It's good. Yep. What, the 8-bit art?
That game actually still has an 8 out of 10 rating on Steam.
I mean, if you grew up liking it
at the time, you know,
yeah, probably great.
Yeah, wow, I didn't even realize this was a thing. And they actually made two games too. It was Shattered Lands and War of the Ravager.
Huh.
So yeah, fun fact. Dark Sun, regardless. Dark Sun is another whole nother story. Yeah,
that's a whole nother shebang. I was vaguely familiar with like fantasy settings and stuff, but like my first real hands-on like game or like that Japanese style of RPG would have been Final Fantasy VII, and that aesthetic just like slapped me in the face. I think that being like, you know, now what we're calling diesel punk, that kind of like, it's it's got your fantasy tropes because it's got your magic, you know, you got your guys using your swords, all that kind of stuff, but it still has modern technology.
Yeah, at least for the time.
And motorcycles.
Yeah.
But like all the cars look like they're straight out of the 20s, you know?
Yeah, they're a little clunkers. Which but also looks... Japanese cars look a little more, look a little different than American cars, yeah, right? They're a little smaller.
Japanese cars are a little different, yeah.
That's fair. I just think it's really neat that that aesthetic really married the two worlds very well, but it definitely leaned more modern. So like, I've just wanted more modern fantasy type games, and I blame Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah, I mean,
I can see that.
Isn't that what Final Fantasy XV is? Not to go too far, of course, but
it is.
You got magic and people going on a road trip.
Yeah, and guns.
And guns, yeah. And
guns.
But also magic.
And no, that game basically, like, I remember first telling people about that game and they were like, if you like that game, you should play Chrono Trigger. And I was like, okay,
that's good
Super
advice.
Nintendo. So I still had my Super Nintendo. I went and got it. Another game that blew me away. It also didn't help that, like, it looked like Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah.
Because Akira Toriyama did that game for like, the art design.
Yep.
And it was just like, what? This game, incredible, need to play. Because like I was 15, so that was high school for me.
Yep.
Like that was middle of high school. So like middle of high school is just like when you're discovering like all of these fucking like fun, funky things that you're just like, yes, I need more of that. And then I got into playing D&D like right afterwards. So like, and then when did I discover like standard traditional fantasy? I think it was at that point that I started reading books as well. Like, a lot of the more fantastical books that weren't like the Goosebumps books.
Books, fuck yeah.
Hell yeah, books. We're here at the Layman's Guide to the Multiverse. We are pro reading.
We are very pro reading, pro books, pro reading, pro you know, animated series, pro all that good stuff that like people think are for kids. And they're stupid reading, for thinking that.
Reading ain't for kids. Reading's for everyone.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
It really is. But yeah, no, that was everything that came after that is just straight downhill, like avalanche of just like, and fun note, that was the name of the terrorist group, the eco-terrorist group.
Avalanche. Yep.
Just a straight avalanche of like, give me more of this. Just give me more of this. Give me more of these characters telling incredible stories. Give me more of these, just like these people in like, who are like regular people thrust into these incredible situations. Give me more of this for the rest of my life.
It's very good. I mean, Final Fantasy VII, as different as the games are, they do kind of aesthetically match at least a little bit. Like if you squint, because Final Fantasy VIII also kind of gets a little more modern, but has magic mixed with technology. Mm-hmm. Same with Final Fantasy X. 9 goes back straight to fantasy.
Yeah, 9 is 9 is a straight up love letter. I mean, well, yeah, 9. Yes, I'll shut up. You're right.
Yeah, no, you're not. No, I just say, yeah, but
I was gonna be like, it's fantasy, but it's also a love letter to the entire series because it was the last game on the console. I was gonna go like in depth left turn.
No, I mean, but it makes sense. Where it's placed in where, like, when it came out, makes a lot of sense. But like, this isn't the final fantasy, but
it's the final one for now.
For now, yeah.
Should we try to like explain the idea of what Final Fantasy is? Because like, I feel like a lot of
a last ditch effort for Squaresoft to make some money. Otherwise, they were going out of business. That's why they called it Final Fantasy.
Yeah. Yeah, just figured we'd throw that in there for you guys, because like I feel like as though like if you've never heard of Final Fantasy VII, but you've like or heard of a Final Fantasy game, but are listening to us in the podcast, we should probably like fill you in on the fact that like this is a series of games. The characters tend to not be like, it tends to not be a sequel to the rest of them. So like what happens in one, the story for Final Fantasy II is not the same, is not a sequel to Final Fantasy I. What happens in Final Fantasy III is not a sequel to Final Fantasy II, and et cetera, down the line.
So on and so forth. And also, I have to imagine the people that click on and listen to this podcast who also aren't aware of what Final Fantasy VII is, they have to be a microscopic like line on a pie chart. Like, God bless you.
That Venn diagram is so interesting.
Yeah. I love, honestly, if you click and you're still listening, you think we're interesting. God bless you. You're amazing.
Shout out.
Shout outs. You're the real one.
If you're still giving us the time to listen to after, how long did we squeal about this for so far? I don't even know at this point.
But honestly, I love the fact that someone could be listening to us like, wow, this is really interesting. But what's Final Fantasy?
What the fuck are these guys talking about? You guys really are the real and not the jabroni. Like,
you're not a jabroni. You're the whatever the opposite of a jabroni is.
The real. You are the real.
You're the real. You're what Morpheus shows Neo when he's trying to get him. He says, "Welcome to the." You're not a battery. But let me explain what the Matrix is, because you don't know what Final Fantasy is.
Oh my god!
See all those zeros and ones.
So many zeros and ones.
My God!
See that cat? And then did you see the same cat?
The same cat again? That's just deja vu.
Yeah, that's nothing to worry about. It's definitely not a glitch in the Matrix.
You obviously don't know what the Matrix is either. If you don't know what Final Fantasy is.
Whoa. I mean, they came out, I think, Final Fantasy VII came out in 98 in America, and then 99 is The Matrix. So, they're back-to-back.
Man, the 90s were incredible. I mean, we did an episode on the 90s.
We did. Spoken like true millennials.
Yeah.
So great. I hear the 90s are in. Is that true?
Yeah.
Well, history does have a tendency to repeat itself.
Oh, yeah.
So I think in that cyclical cycle, we are back in that 90s. God, you guys realize eventually the cycle of the 90s will change. And then people will be like, yo, what about them 2000s, though?
Yeah. Remember those early aughts?
Flowride is going to make a huge comeback.
I can't wait. I can't wait for Flowride to make a comeback. I can't wait for more pop punk breakdowns.
I'm going to make a small admittance here that, like, I feel like if anyone listening to the podcast listens to this, and if you know me in real life, you're going to make fun of me for this. I did not realize that Flo Rida is spelled Florida.
Oh, there you go. No, it's fine. He was working undercover, which is why his name was a little different.
Just a tad bit different.
Just a little different as a treat.
A little bit.
Oh my god.
It's like saying I didn't know that Pitbull was Mr. Worldwide.
Oh, Mr. 305?
Mr. 305.
Oh my gosh.
Can we talk about Sephiroth?
Sure.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. Like, what do you want?
Dude, is he not the like, do you guys not remember just like him being the villain and then just like him being the villain?
I don't remember him being the villain. Please explain.
No, like the idea of Sephiroth.
I know.
That long-haired, long black trench coat, giant sword.
Yeah, the swords don't make sense. Like the Buster Sword doesn't make any sense.
The Buster Sword physically cannot exist.
The Masamune doesn't make any sense.
No, like Sephiroth's sword makes no sense. Like you cannot wield that thing, and there will be. But everybody knows the one guy.
Wants to know.
No. The one guy who will tell you, no, that's a real sword, man.
Oh, yeah. No, we went to college with that guy.
Yeah, there's a lot of people like that.
No, man, this was, you could totally do that. No, you can't. Like, the Final Fantasy VII remake makes fun of the Buster Sword.
It's so good. The scene where he tries to pull it out and hits the frame of a door. chef's kiss.
That's so good.
That's art right there. Well,
and I love too that he's got like they even make sense of all the shit on Cloud's back. Like they're magnets. So he can put the sword there because you're not like putting that in like a regular sheath or you're not like.
How strong must those earth magnets be to hold up that sword?
And being able to swing it, he's so jacked. Like
that's why they're trying to save the planet because once the magnetic field goes away, his sword's gonna fall off his body.
Holy shit, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, right. That's why they're trying to save the planet.
God.
But also, speaking of Sephiroth, I guess spoilers for the original, spoilers for the remake, because Sephiroth's in that as well. Mm-hmm. But I love the concept of them trying to save this planet from ourselves when there is an active invading force, or rather, whatever this ancient was that fell to Earth, this Genova, you know?
There's a literal alien that, corporation just decided to put in a freezer.
Yeah, it's like, ooh, this thing that fell to the planet, ooh, I'm going to use it for to suck up the life of the planet. Ooh, that's a good plan.
I'm going to use it to make money.
Like, ooh, yeah, let's kill like, the planet.
Is that not what corporations would do right now?
No, yeah. 100%. But I also like I like the fact that in spite of the fact that there is this like eldritch god that a corporation has enslaved, your biggest, like at least in the beginning, your biggest enemy is just a corporation.
Yeah, it's just a fat guy in a suit.
It's so good. Yeah, no, I gotta say, like, that's a great, like, show of, like, in storytelling of escalation.
Yeah.
Like, they do a great job of escalating, like, what the villain of the story is, where it goes from being, like, oh, we're a terrorist an eco-terrorist organization fighting against, you know, this giant corporation that's trying to kill the planet. Surprise, it's also aliens.
Yep.
And a guy who was cloned from an alien to basically like destroy the world.
Yeah. They were trying to make super soldiers.
Yeah. And then summons a giant fucking rock that is like meteor. Was all right. Remind me. Was yeah. Spoiler alert again. Meteor. Was meteor just like a chunk of Genova? Or was like meteor just something that like Genova could summon, that like Sephiroth summoned to destroy the planet?
I believe it was just a one giant summon.
Okay.
Yeah, because it was based off of like the materia. There are summon materia, and I think this one just summoned a giant rock to wipe everything out. But I could be wrong. It's been a while since I played 7.
It has been a while since I played 7. Like I just remember, Cid was also a wife abuser.
Yeah, that's not a good look. They're probably going to be changing that in the remake.
He does not age well.
Yeah, that does not age well at all.
I abused my wife as a joke. It's endearing.
But like, what a theme okay, song Sid. They gave him, like the High Wind theme.
Oh, so good.
Yeah.
To this day, like I love, like when that comes on, you just feel like the elation of like flying into the sky.
Ooh.
Ooh, 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 ooh.
Yeah, no, so good.
But you know, but he abused his wife, so
it's not good.
The whole thing is like their whole relationship is horribly toxic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because like she's trying to like she lets him kind of push him, or he's mad at her for essentially stopping him from going into space.
Right.
Yeah.
Because she was fixing a fuel tank that would have killed him. Because there was like a leaking fuel tank or something that she was like, no, it's fine. You can just kill me and then go to space, whatever. And he's like, I'm not gonna fucking do that because I love you. So he's mad at her for that. So she's just like, I guess I have to repent for doing the thing and I'm dumb. But it's like, it's all bad. It's all bad. None of it's good. Please just take that out of here. Also, who knows if that really was the relationship? Because like the translation for 7's bad. If you want to talk about that at all.
Is it really? Oh, that's actually something I would love to talk about, because I didn't really like at that time. Like I didn't know much about video games at the time. I was a fucking 15-year-old kid. Like I didn't fucking read any stuff. Like I barely read Nintendo Power. I didn't know about, like, you didn't know a lot of the things that went on in the background of these games getting created.
Oh, yeah. Hybrid, so, like, no, no way.
Like I would always ask myself, like, how do they translate these games from Japanese? Like do they just have someone who sits there and types every line out?
So they had a team for Final Fantasy VII. Fun story about 7's development.
Mm-hmm.
So Xenogears was in development first.
Yes.
As possibly as originally a pitch for Final Fantasy VII, and they were like, this is too dark, there's too many like super adult themes. You are far reaching here with the stuff you want to do. The word I'm looking for I can't pull. But there was a lot going on for Xenogears, right? So they threw a bunch of money at it and they were like, oh, we're gonna do all this stuff, it's gonna be great. Partway through development, or I should say the longer development went on for Xenogears, the more of the team they were pulling off to spin off into Final Fantasy VII.
That's right. Yeah.
So part of the reason that Xenogears kind of falls off in its second act is that they were running on a shoestring budget and no team.
Which and it's incredible to think about. Okay, just how big, like, this just goes to show you like how big of a difference a year makes in time. Xenogears came out in February 11th, 1998. The original release in Japan. So like if you put into assumptions that it takes like about 6 months, 7 months to do the translation, whatever they need to do, Xenogears came out literally a year after Final Fantasy VII.
Right.
And like it's wild. Like thinking back now, there are so many things that I missed in Xenogears that is just like, like you're absolutely right when you say like the adult material, mm-hmm. the adult topics that they touch on,
dude,
unbelievable. Like these games were being made and we were kids playing this.
Yup. I mean, you know, something like Xenogears, I didn't play until college, and then
didn't play Xenogears till college.
I played your copy.
Oh, that's right. You did play my copy. I played it when I was young. So played it when it came out.
Yeah, I ended up. So I had a friend when I was in like elementary school, because I would have been that young at that time. He was playing it. And he would tell me about it, or I'd watch him play it a little bit. And I was like, this game looks so fucking cool, but just had never got around to playing it. I just ended up not playing it until college and played through most of it, fell off, and then eventually got back around to it and played it myself.
And did you play it, Mike, at all or no?
Yeah, I played it in college, though.
Okay, you did play it in college.
Yeah, I didn't play it when it first came out. I wasn't even really aware of it until college.
Like, it was just, like, the game was so cool to play because of the sprites, the way the design was for the sprites, just the gameplay, the fight mechanisms were a lot of fun. That's why I enjoyed it initially. And the story was, like, interesting. Like, it was a super interesting story, but I missed so much of the nuance. And, like, now I kind of, it's been a few years since I played Final Fantasy VII. Maybe I should go back and replay it to see what the nuances of the story are, looking back at it from an adult perspective and not a rose-tinted perspective as a young teenager.
Yeah. I mean, I played it, I guess, semi-recently. It's still been a bit, because this was, like, I always forget, like, the pandemic took out 2 years, right? So, like, that's gone, and then keep a few years after that. So probably at this point around, like, 7 years ago, I played Final Fantasy VII again. And I remember it really holding up and being really interesting, but I do need to revisit it.
Yeah, I mean, does it have its problems mechanically, if we want to talk about, I guess, just the gameplay.
Some of the minigames were... Actually, yeah, we should probably talk about the minigames, like in the Golden Saucer. The mini games there?
Yeah. I mean, we could. I remember even as a kid. Oh, no, that's not true.
Like Chocobo Racing, which you got a spin-off game for.
Oh, that's right.
The snowboarding level. We got a spin-off of that, too, if I recall correctly.
We did.
What was the other mini game? I feel like there was another mini game that we could play at the Golden Saucer.
There was the arm wrestling one. There was the Moogle game.
That arm wrestling game was rough.
There was the battle theater, essentially. Like, that was the only thing I really did, because I think you can get Omni Slash there. You can get, like, the very last limit break.
Cloud.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You had to do that to get Omni Slash.
Yeah. Oh, the battle saucer was rough.
I remember also the big kind of, like, this is before the age of the internet where you could, like, validate whether the, like, something somebody would told you was correct. But there was, like, a cheat code telling you that you can get Sephiroth to join your party.
Yeah, that sounds like a fake thing.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you learn this button combination, Aerith comes back to life.
Yep. That was the other one too. Yeah, way to spoil the thing that we've avoided most of the episode, Ed.
It's a fucking over, it's a 25-year-old game. Come on now.
And we've already issued the spoiler warning. But also yeah. You can't assume. It's been so long, you can't assume
it's like been...
Exactly. It's 2 weeks.
Well, I mean, listen, let's remember there is that small Venn diagram of people who are the reals. Like they've never played Final Fantasy VII, but they're still listening to us talk about it.
It's so good. I love that.
That's fair.
But in closing, I think just go play the original game and then play the remake. And then, you know, this episode should be released by the time that the second part of the game comes out. We'll play that too.
I would hope this recording is released before early 2024.
Who knows? Maybe we'll get a little spicy with it.
Ooh, yeah.
Maybe we'll hold it in the vault.
Until we find Matt, no one gets to hear this.
Oh shit, the entire season in Disney Vault.
I may have to do something about this.
Punisher's dead, everybody. Marvel's killed the Punisher.
Oh, they did it? They finally did it?
They did it.
Hooray. Good for them. Good riddance, right? I'm glad they finally got a chance to do it.
Yeah. You know who kills him?
Hopefully. Who kills him? Yeah, who kills him?
His wife.
Ah! Yeah, they brought his wife back to life.
Yeah, the hand brought his wife back to life. It was like, it's great. I want a divorce. Blam.
Oh, that's a fun way to get a divorce. That's is that called a no fault Garth, divorce?
Let's go for those Garth Ennis fans out there. That's what they did it for.
Ooh, a little bit of Ennis action.
That's where they put the materia.
That's where you put it in there. You slot it in. It's like, I don't need, it's actually, I don't have time.
His gun arm when he's,
ooh,
done.
Okay. So you have read these stories. You would lie to us, Bob.
It's why they call it the Buster Sword.
Hey.
No problem. Like...
Yeah.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, guys. Have a great night.